Be'ez Hashem Mizbech, we begin Perek Shmi, the eighth and final chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Chayav L'Mazik, the laws of inflicting injury and in the second half that we're in right now and causing damage to someone's monies, in the Sefer Nezikin, in the Book of Damages, where in this Perek we discuss another type of someone who causes damage with what's called a Meiser, an informer, and also regarding damages that happen when someone is being pursued. That's what I'm against Halacha Aleph regarding the Halacha of someone who is an informer gives over his friend's money to a strong-armed person. If someone gives over his friend's money into the hand of a thug, so chayav l'shalom, he has to pay, like we said in the previous parak regarding all those who cause the damage indirectly. He has to pay from the best of his properties. The mace, if he dies, gave him a yarshub, you collect from his inheritance, kashor kol mazikin, like all those who cause damage. Bein shehoya anas goy, with the strong arm person that he's giving it to is a, or informs to, is a Gentile. Bein shehoya yisrael, whether he's a Jew. The meiser, the informer, has to compensate whatever that thug took. And that's even though the informer did not pick it up, did not give it over with his own hands. All he did was he informed, he slandered him, and he said, that's enough to create the liability. Now, Allah based by midrum, when we say this, that the meiser is going to be chayv, even if he didn't do it with his own hands, is kishahedah ha-meiser, if when the informer showed the place of his friend's money, me'atzmai, on his own, then that's something that he caused the damage. But if, let's say, the Gentiles forced him, or Yisrael anas, or even a Jewish thug, forced him laharis to show the head and he showed, he's a potter, then he's going to be exempt from the monetary payment, because the chiyuv of einus is only when he does it actively himself. Now, but let's say he himself actively picked it up, so he's being mazik b'yadayim, and therefore, afa b'shu anas, even though it was an oinus, they forced him, chayav l'sham is going to have to pay. Because hamatzal asma b'mom chavere, so too if someone saves himself with his friend's money, chayav l'sham, he has to pay. Halacha gemara ketzad, that if someone informs with words, without action, he's still going to be chayav. Harisha gazer ha-melech lohavi lo yayin oitevin. If, let's say, the king decreed that all the wine and the straw has to be brought to him, b'ketzad b'mermela, or things something like this. The former gets up and he says, he says, you should know that that person has a store of wine and straw in that place. So they go, and the king's men go and they take it. The informer has to pay. Let's say the king forced this informer until they forced him to show with the store of that person the wine or straw is, or to show him the money of that person who was a fugitive running away from the king, and he only showed it to the king because he was being forced. Then that reason potter, like we said, then he's going to be exempt, where he didn't touch it, he just informed, but he was forced, because Shem lo yarole, he's not going to show it to the king, yakeo yimiseu, they're going to hit him, or they're going to kill him, where it's those types of oinsin that would go ahead and exempt him from the fact that he's an informer. Now, halacha dal, but nasam amin chaver biyade, when the son lands, well, let's say he lifted up his friend's money, and he gave it over to that thug, chayav l'shalom mekam akum, then he always has to compensate. Ave bisham elcha nos lahavi, even if the king's forcing him to bring it, which we said forcing is exempt, but that's only if it's with words. With action, he's going to be liable. Now, and like we said, because even sometimes that you're allowed to, like to save yourself, but it's with someone else's money and you actively did it, you have to pay. Now, but Benvram, when we say this, Shemanasu lahavi behavior that he forced him to bring it and he brought it, that chayv is going to be liable, is only b'shalahigi amam l'shosa anas, only if the money has not yet come into the domain and the dominion of that thug. Aval anas sha'anas Yisrael acheheru, but if a thug forced the Jew to he showed him, and that's all he did so far was showed him, which generally if he showed with force, he's exempt. Then v'amara anas al ha-momin v'nas b'shusa. So then the thug comes along and he's taking over the property, he's there, and it becomes like in his dominion. Then v'anas is Yisrael, but then he forces the Jew until he goes and brings it somewhere else. So he's doing it now with his hands. V'afil ha-ilich izah ha-moysa sharo. And even if the one who is the informer who showed it, he's the one that now willingly on his own is bringing it, he's a patam l'sham, he's going to be exempt from paying. Because once the thug was already standing there on the side of the storehouse, it was already lost whatever's in there. Like it was burned. Now that he's actively doing it, that's already it's not that original owner's anymore. And that would not create a liability for having moved it with his own hands. Is related if someone gives over the judgment to a Gentile. Bali din. Let's say they were litigants. Shahoitza b'nei meriva, that they had a dispute ala karka regarding a piece of real estate, all metal and movable items. Zemeshali says, he said it's mine, he said it's mine. And the one goes and he gives it over to the courts, to a Gentile. And he says, here, you decide. Or he gives it over to him to whatever to have it. So we excommunicate him until he brings back the item like it was. That he removes the thug from between them. But yes, he saw that the Jew, that it should be a judgment as is done by the Jewish people. And he that now involved that Gentile, who now took it, it's his liability to bring it back. Halacha Vav continues with, if someone was caught because as a saving his friend, but not intentionally. So Mish Nitvas Al Chaveiro. If someone that, because his friend owed money, he was caught as, let's say, a fellow Jew. Now, the Gentiles took money from him because of his friend. His friend was running away in customs, and they caught him. And they took it from him, like, to and through that, because they took it from him, they're letting the other guy off the hook. Although it was the other person that ultimately caused it, he doesn't have to pay. Because you don't have a situation where someone is caught because of his friend, that the other person, because of that he'll have to pay for him. It's somewhat indirect, but it's not anything that he himself actively did. There's no way you have to pay unless if someone was caught, only if, let's say, it's the head tax that every single person has to pay every single year. Or he was caught regarding the gift, that every single person has to give to the king, but when he passes by over them, who him or his soldiers, his generals. So then, so the other person that was said, yeah, that other Jew didn't pay, we're going to take from you. Then that original Jew has to pay it to him. But that's only if they explicitly took it from that Jew because of the other Jew in front of witnesses. Then ultimately, it was because he didn't pay his dues to the king, the taxes. Therefore, this guy had to pay. So then he has to compensate him. Halacha Zayin continues regarding if the amount of the money that was informed on is not known. So, let's say there's witnesses that could testify that this guy informed on someone else's monies. Let's say when he informed on his own volition, or even if it was forced, but he did it with his own hands, which we said those are cases of liability. But the witnesses don't know how much the loss was on what he informed on. Now, the one who was informed on says, this and this is the amount that I lost. But the informer denies regarding the claim. He says, it's not true, that's not how much I informed on. Im tafas ha-nimsar, if the one who was informed on grabs how much he claims his loss was, im etzim yodur, don't remove it from him. Ela nishba b'nekidus chevetz, rather he swears by holding a holy object, v'zeichav mashu tafas and he merits whatever it is that he grabbed. V'bai tafas, but if he didn't grab, im etzim ha-nimsar, then you don't remove it from the former, ela b'ra'a b'ruria, unless he has a clear proof, attesting to how much it was, only then could he collect how much was the damages of how much he informed him on. Halacha Ches, regarding the oath as it applies to a case of informant, is imash binas amayser shehedem atzmai. We don't have the informant swear when it's a situation when he informed willingly, when he showed on his own. Lo shavu chamuda, not a severe oath. For example, let's say he agreed to partial, let's say, and this is related to the previous halacha, where he's denying, and we don't give him the oath of, let's say, he partially admitted, which is a biblical oath, which is a severe oath. Belishavu's Hess is not the rabbinic oath, which when he totally denies everything. Why doesn't he swear? Neshuhu Rashik is a wicked person. Informer. Venlecha Psul Yasmin said there's no greater invalidation of a personality than that. So therefore, we're not going to have him swear. Avla Moisish and Sul Haroes, but let's say someone informed where they forced him to show. Or to bring it, even if he did it with his own hands. Apishuchav Lasham, although in that case that he has to pay. But in a rush, he's not a wicked person because he was forced. It's just that we require him to pay. But he would swear just like all other kosher people that although he has to pay, but that doesn't make him into a wicked person. Halacha Tes discusses this prohibition of informing. It's forbidden for a person to give over in the hand of a Gentile, whether someone's body, whether his monies, even if that person was a wicked person full of sins, even if he was causing difficulty to him and paining him, it doesn't make a difference. You're not allowed to inform on him. Whoever gives over into the hand of a Gentile, whether a person's body or his money, does not have a portion in the world to come. Halacha Yud goes even further, that one is allowed to kill the informer. One is permitted to kill informer in all places. Even in today's time, we don't even judge capital punishment. You're also allowed to kill him before, meaning you're allowed to kill him before he informs. Ella, rather, meaning, Kishamu, when he says, I'm going to inform on this person, I'm going to tell the authorities regarding his body or his money. Even if it's a small amount, a small level money informing, he's permitting himself for death, and you're permitted to kill him, like a raid, like someone who's pursuing someone else to kill him. They warn him and they tell him, Altimsa, don't inform. If he has the audacity and he says, Loi ki, no, I'm going to inform him. Mitzvah lahargah, it's a mitzvah to kill him. Whoever goes and kills him first, merits. Now, let's say, Asaha Meisir Asha Zamam Umasar. Let's say the informer does like he plotted to and he actually informs on the Jew. Says the Rambam, Yerali, it appears to me, Sha'as lahargah, that now you're not allowed to kill him anymore. Because the whole halacha that you're allowed to kill him is only to save the friend's money, like someone who's pursuing someone else. Not because he actually murdered him, but that's only an indirect cause, and he would be potter. Even if we know he did, he would be a potter if he didn't have a straw and bezdin. So, once the deed is done, you're not allowed to kill him. Elam can huchzik limsa, unless he already has established a pattern of informing, how is he understanding he should be potter, shem yimsa achem, because he might go and inform on other people. And there's stories in old times in the western cities in France, lanish hamoisrim, to punish the informer, shahuchziku limsar mamon b'nei adam, that they have already established a pattern of informing on people's monies, v'limsa hamoisrim, yara goyim, and that they give over these informers to the Gentile authorities, la'ansham, to punish them, la'koisim, to hit them, la'asim, and to lock them up in jail, kefir yirishim, according to their wickedness. V'chein kol ha'mitzel ha'tzibah b'mitzarim, so to anyone that makes difficulties for the public and pains them, mutu l'mastur b'yara goyim, you're allowed to give them over to the hands of the Gentiles, la'koisim, la'asim, la'konsay, to hit them, and to incarcerate them, and to penalize them. Now, that's for the public. But for an individual's pain, asla asra, for that you're not allowed to incarcerate him and lock him up. And moreover, asla abid mamayna shalom, you're not allowed to get rid of and destroy the monies of the informer. Where, though you're allowed to punish him, but shari mamayna liyarsha, because his monies are for his inheritors, and his inheritors might be righteous people, and then you're not allowed to destroy his monies, although you're allowed to harm him. Halachid beis, regarding a similar vein of damages that happen from the pursuer and the one who's being pursued. Someone's pursuing after someone else to kill him. Or wants to commit a crime with that person. Wants to sodomize him. Some type of illicit act. And as he's pursuing the person, he breaks vessels. Whether it's the vessels of the victim, or the purported victim, or of any single person, it doesn't make a difference. That pursuer is going to be exempt from monetary payment, because he's liable in his own life. Because Shakim and Shadadav, once he's pursuing the person, even if he doesn't kill him, like we mentioned before, he already permitted himself to be killed. Anyone who finds him could kill him to save the victim. So since he has already on himself a punishment on his life, you can't punish him on his money. If let's say the one who's being pursued, if he breaks the vessels of the one who's pursuing him, let's say he's running after him and he goes and he tears his jacket, so Pati is going to be exempt. Because the money of the pursuer can't be better than his own body, which if we said that the one who's being pursued is allowed to kill the one who's pursuing him, to save himself for sure, he could destroy his monies. Now, but if he breaks other people's vessels, as he's trying to save his own life, Chayiv is going to be liable to a monetary compensation. If someone saves himself with his friend's monies, although obviously he wants to save his life, but Chayiv still is liable because he damaged someone else's stuff. If someone's pursuing after the pursuer because he wants to save the one who's being pursued, the Shavas came, and as this person is trying to save the victim, he breaks something on his way, whether it's from the one who is pursuing or whether it's from any single person, Pati is going to be exempt. Which, this is not from the primary law, because even someone saving his own life is going to be liable. For sure, someone saving someone else with someone else's money, for sure, is going to be chayv. But El Takani, it's a rabbinic institution, that person should not stop him trying to save, or he might even delay. The Ayin Be'esh Yidav is going to look when he's coming to pursue that pursuer, where he doesn't want to be liable for all these monetary payments, and we don't want that to happen. We want him to go save and do whatever is possible, so if we exempt him from the liability. Halakha Tezvav continues that you could even have some, that monies could be considered as a pursuer. Svina, let's say there's a boat, Shechishvali Shover, that they think it's going to break and sink, Mikavir Amasai, from the load of the from the weight of the loads. V'amar Echemem, so someone gets up, one of the passengers, V'hikol Mimasa, and he lightens from the load, V'hishach V'yam, and he throws it into the sea. Pater, he's exempt from the losses of that person. Shamasa Shabbat, because the load that's in the boat is it's like pursuing after them to kill them, because if not for this load, if the load's still here, they're going to die. And therefore, actually, a mitzvah rabba also sheshlech b'yashim actually did a great mitzvah that he threw it into the sea and he saved the people, which, save on a good note with saving, which Rambam always ends on a good note. Also, it alludes to Seyed Nezikim, which is called Yeshua's. We have concluded the laws of injuries and of damages with heavenly assistance.